This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFCEA Answers, looking out over the cyber threat landscape, what do we see? The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Kakis with Signal Magazine. Welcome to AFCEA Answers, where we explore information technology issues affecting the military, homeland security, and intelligence with some of the top experts in industry and government. Joining us in the studio today, Lance Dubsky, Chief Information Security Officer with NGA, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and also Al Kinney, the Director of Cybersecurity Capabilities, Enterprise Services, U.S. Public Sector with Hewlett-Packard here in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome today. Glad to have you here. And Lance, it's a special treat because we don't always get to talk to people from the NGA. For those who might be listening, what's the 30-second description of what the NGA does?
My pleasure. It's great to be here, Max. NGA provides geospatial intelligence to a broad customer base. Mm-hmm. It provides local, state, DOD, and intelligence community products that are both from mapping, imagery, and a number of other services related to geospatial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. At one time, I remember passing the old Army Map Service out on out in Bethesda and wondering, gee, what do they do over there? They make maps all day, but it's grown into part of what the NGA is today.
Yes, it is, Max.
Indeed. Lance, now wanted to start in by asking you about all the attention that we've had to the growing threats in cyberspace. It seems like every day we hear about this and we hear about the problems. And it's a particular problem in the government because there's so many, just like it's people's lives are touched by cyberspace and what goes on in cyber. So much of what we do in the government now is affected by what happens in cyberspace. Lance, in NGA, have you seen an actual increase in the threat, or would you say that there's just a better awareness of what's going on nowadays?
Max, cyber has become a daily news headline. I've seen an increase in the threat. Today's threat landscape is increasing in complexity, sophistication, and is harder to detect. This, coupled with the easily accessible malware that is easy to use, complicates the equation. Because of the increased complexity of this advanced persistent threat, government agencies are at a significant disadvantage. The reason? The adversary's capabilities are growing, their risk is minimal, and their potential gain is high. The adversary is no longer a static threat, they are dynamic. To defend our agencies, we need to transform our tools and techniques to this dynamic threat. For the government, it's a challenge to change to new capabilities in a fiscally constrained environment. One thing we certainly need to do is to reduce our exposure. A threat without exposure is just someone knocking on your door. We need to understand they will never stop knocking or checking the windows.
Al, you've had a lot of experience in this area, and now you're responsible for helping agencies of the federal government with their cybersecurity needs. What's your take on this?
Hi, Max. I would agree that these cybersecurity threats are becoming more prevalent for two reasons. The first reason is that we as a nation, have become more and more dependent upon cybersecurity and cyberspace assets to control more and more increasingly important aspects of our businesses and of our lives. With that complexity comes a cascading series of effects that come down when there is a cybersecurity problem. In addition to that, we now see lots more players coming onto the scene. We see everything from governments to non-affiliated hacker groups that are really investing in advanced capabilities and putting them together in a way that continues to expose our systems to their threats. Our systems continue to develop and new vulnerabilities may come about as a result. And then when we put the two together, we see emerging doctrine happening around the world, whether it be official sovereign-type doctrine or doctrine that you could derive from some of these groups. It is something that is being planned actively, and that makes it an increasing threat more so than something that is just more noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the areas that we hear about a lot when it comes to cybersecurity and the government deals with information sharing. Lance, I had a chance to talk to Al Taurasik, the CIO for the intelligence community last year, and he talked to me for Signal Magazine about information sharing among the intelligence community. And I'm wondering, what kinds of challenges do you face in terms of being able to share with your sister agencies within the IC in terms of all of this? Because it's a real challenge. Al at the time said culture was part of the problem, but there's also a cyber component to all of this as well.
Information sharing is not new for NGA. NGA provides geospatial intelligence to a broad customer base, so sharing information is not only natural, it's an imperative. That includes across the intelligence community. We help bring terrorists to justice. We support military operations from planning through execution. We safeguard lives in the aftermath of natural disasters. Our customers include, as I had mentioned before, state, local, defense, and the intelligence community. NGA leadership is dedicated to the vision of putting the power of GEOINT in the hands of the user. From the perspective of the CISO, I share cybersecurity information, challenges, and opportunities with the other CISOs across the intelligence community and defense. We have a partnership. I believe in transparency and the necessity to share this information. As you might imagine, each agency doesn't have all of the answers. Oftentimes, the CISO at the Defense Intelligence Agency or National Security Agency may be facing the same challenge I am. Our open partnership today enables us to leverage each other's expertise and to increase our knowledge and strengthen our defense.
Okay. Al, what do you think about what you just heard Lance say regarding information sharing? Obviously, the tools are there, but what do you think about the progress that the agencies like NGA and the IC have made?
Well, it's critically important to get this information shared specifically with regard to cybersecurity. The only way we're going to beat these advanced threats who are planning against us and actively investing is by pulling together our resources to the degree that we can and to just outnumber them or outthink them in a way that they can't scale to. So sharing information there would definitely help. There are some issues to think about with information sharing. The technology itself exists today. But we don't want to get in a situation where we have shared 10 haystacks amongst three people, and now you have more information than you ever had before. And we need to figure out what we're going to do with this information, what are our expected outcomes, and what's the level of investment that's worthwhile, maintain the quality of that information, and then develop doctrine that says, once we get this information, this is the trust level it will operate at, and these are the kinds of decisions that could be made with this information. So overall, it's a very positive thing. It's a goal to look forward to. The only thing I would say is to be very careful that we don't overwhelm ourselves and become paralyzed by the information.
Still to come is continuous monitoring, the answer to the cyber challenge. You're listening to AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Who has access to what, when, how, and why? Are users who they say they are? Who did what and when did they do it? All this should matter. Budget cuts continue. Identity fraud is increasing. Effective enterprise identity, credentialing, and access management are essential. HP can help. HP's Assured Identity Solution is a highly scalable enterprise solution that can be integrated with your existing systems that will amplify the value of the services you provide to your constituents. That really matters. Learn more at hp.com/go/get connected.
We're back with AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guest today, Lance Dubsky, CISO with the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and Albert Kinney, Director of Cybersecurity Capabilities with Hewlett-Packard. Lance and Al, recently there's been a shift towards what's commonly referred to as continuous monitoring as the preferred way to ensure security on government systems. Tell us a little bit about how you understand cyber continuous monitoring, and how is it different from what government organizations have been doing in the past?
Thanks, Max. That's a great question. First, continuous monitoring, from my perspective, is not a new concept. It's basically no different than monitoring security controls of an accredited system. I see agencies have been doing this for more than a decade. As the intelligence community has begun implementing ICD-503 and the NIST risk management framework, every new system will have a continuous monitoring strategy. And once the system has been authorized to operate, you then continuously monitor the security controls the system has been categorized for. The challenge to this, though, and where it's really different, is that some systems have 550 security controls. It's quite a challenge once you've already accepted the risk and you've evaluated and tested those controls once. I think the most prudent way and the biggest change will be to check those security controls, which provide the best understanding of changes in risk posture.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically a matter of having not only the systems in place, but also the policies that are in place, so that when you do see something, your people and you know what to do.
Absolutely, Max. Today, with ICD-503, this implementation uses the NIST Special Pub 853, Families of Controls. There's a lot of controls within that framework. The challenge, though, is putting in place the right infrastructure to provide those controls, those requirements as a service, mm-hmm. instead of building those into each independent system. Really, what you want to do is have an infrastructure that provides services like enterprise auditing, identity and access management, intrusion detection, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Al, do you think are the systems in place now and systems available to agencies to be able to do this kind of thing? Because as Lance points out, this is something that has been around for roughly a decade now. It's taken a little time for some agencies to ramp up to it. And also, as Lance pointed out, some of the policy directives that have come along to help drive some of this. But are the tools in place?
Absolutely. The tools have now come to maturity to where continuous monitoring has the opportunity here to make a real change in the way cybersecurity is done. For one particular reason, you will have a solid foundation based upon a standardized process and a standardized kit of tools so that you have the opportunity to understand fully what's happening in your networks. So the important thing to look at from a continuous monitoring perspective looking forward is what will we do with it when we have it? Because the opportunities are endless. Suppose you want to work in the cloud. If you have a continuous monitoring capability, you can take full advantage of all the things that the cloud has to offer, such as dynamic reconfiguration of your network. And you add this maneuver aspect to the network that makes it so that when the bad guy is trying to target your network, they continually have to look and do research and intelligence and retarget what they targeted before. And we keep them busy, we keep our networks safe and out of their hands. By doing continuous monitoring and having a constant availability of that information, we can also do things like continuous accreditation. We can adjust the posture of our defense toward the mission. There are some times when you might want to partner with another nation or organization and might decide to relax a certain control for a small period of time. Continuous monitoring allows you to have control over the situation so you know when it starts and when it ends and to what degree you've done it.
Great. Lance, now our cyber committee wanted me to ask you about the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education. This is how NIST is sort of driving some agencies to sort of shape their how they inform their staffs, how they inform the people who work for them when it comes to cybersecurity. Lance, is this something that that NGA takes advantage of, or do you have, because you have a fairly unique mission set. You have a fairly unique list of things that you all have to do. And cybersecurity, obviously, is a very important part of all of that. Is the NICE program part of what you all do?
Yes, it is. A few years ago, while serving as the Committee for National Security Systems Subcommittee co-chair, with my co-chairs Eustace King and Peter Gouldman, we met frequently about cybersecurity education. At the time, the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education was still evolving under the CNCI. NIST has produced a great framework that identifies the knowledge, skills, and abilities for a comprehensive set of cyber positions. Today, I'm using this framework to update our government position descriptions. I'm using it in statements of work. Basically, what I'm doing is using that to standardize the position requirements, whether it's government or contractor.
Mm-hmm. And Al, as far as you see, and you get to have, you know, the whole of government perspective as a contractor on the outside, working for HP, what about those efforts in terms of trying to educate staff and in terms of trying to educate people in what they do in terms of cybersecurity, how they do their job? What do you see out there?
We see that the successful organizations look at cybersecurity as a true profession, and nobody will become a cybersecurity expert, but everybody can have a path toward excellence that takes them along various touch points that they need to do for their career and for the missions that they're involved in. Right now, the talent management team at HP is looking at the NIST standard that they put out for workforce and trying to make sure that what we do inside matches to the greatest degree that it can with what the government describes as various positions, because we don't want to be talking about analysts and not meaning analysts in somebody else's context. We don't want to be talking about a certain level of talent and then deliver a level of talent that doesn't meet expectations. So we think it's a very, very good step forward in an area that had a lot of confusion up to this point.
All right, sounds good. Still to come, the cyber landscape and acquisition. More of our conversation with NGA's Lance Dubsky. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Who has access to what, when, how, and why? Are users who they say they are? Who did what and when did they do it? All this should matter. Budget cuts continue. Identity fraud is increasing. Effective enterprise identity, credentialing, and access management are essential. HP can help. HP's Assured Identity Solution is a highly scalable enterprise solution that can be integrated with your existing systems that will amplify the value of the services you provide to your constituents. That really matters. Learn more at hp.com/go/get connected.
Welcome back to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio. Our guests today are Lance Dubsky, CISO with the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, and Al Kinney with Hewlett-Packard. Lance, now supply chain risk management, how do you get what you need to get to do your job? That's always a challenge for federal agencies these days, especially in an environment increasingly centered on the use of commercial products and commercially provided solutions such as cloud computing. Everybody loves to talk about cloud computing. Lance, let me start with you. How does your organization ensure that the companies are providing the hardware and services that you need to do the job at NGA?
Max, NGA has a supply chain risk management program that's very well run by our Security and Installations Directorate. SCRM programs are challenging to implement for a number of reasons. Virtually every vendor of software and hardware outsources production and development of these outsourced vendors, again, at times outsource some aspect of development. It is therefore unrealistic to know the whole supply chain. A risk management approach is necessary too, since we know this is a viable attack vector. From a cloud computing perspective, the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, called FedRAMP, is an option. FedRAMP is a government-wide standardized approach to security assessments and ongoing assessments and authorizations. This program evaluates vendor cloud services for how they meet security requirements. This is one way of evaluating cloud computing services.
Mm-hmm. And Al, from your perspective on the industry side, when it comes to supply chain risk management, how do you see the federal government performing in terms of how it deals with its contractors, with the industry people who provide these services? Do you all have what you need to get the job done?
Well, Lance stated it very correctly. This is a very tough challenge. It's a global problem, and it involves a lot of people as well as technology, so it's something we have to continue chasing. At HP, we run the largest supply chain in the world, and we do get what we need from the government in terms of information requirements from them, regulatory guidance, and they stop in and look at things there every once in a while. But HP is also very concerned to make sure that we live up to those standards, because if we drop a supply chain issue on one customer, it's going to affect all of the customers. So we pay very close attention to that, and we have a very sophisticated supply chain management practice.
Okay. One of the questions, obviously, that comes up often is dealing with contractors, and we talked a little bit about this in the previous segment of the show, but dealing with contractors when it comes to security, obviously maintaining the security of the data and also the systems that you have. Lance, are you confident that the NGA is doing what it needs to do to work with contractors in the area in the areas of security?
I am, Max. Contractors, like government personnel, obtain a security clearance in order to access classified or sensitive information. Eligibility for access to classified information is granted only to those whom an appropriate personnel security background investigation has been completed. The vetting process determines that the individual's personal and professional history indicates loyalty to the United States, strength of character, trustworthiness, honesty, reliability, discretion, sound judgment, and a willingness to abide by the regulations governing this information. When you have been cleared through this process and go to work for the government or defense contractor, you sign agreements on the data you will have access to and how to protect it. Once an agency, you know, personnel are taught how to protect sensitive and classified information, it's very clear.
Right.
There is annual training to reinforce these requirements.
Mm-hmm. And Al, are the systems that are in place at agencies like NGA and all of the other agencies that you deal with, do those policies and procedures make it possible for you to send your staff from HP to work with these agencies in fairly secure environments?
Absolutely. The administrative processes for becoming a partner are very stringent, and we understand them fully. It's very clear to us how to navigate that. And in the cases where we have partnerships with the U.S. government, we haven't had any trouble whatsoever maintaining a line of clearances and access to material that we would need to do the job. In most cases, I have been very happy with the ability of the government to perform their duty to give us the information we need so that we can perform our duties to deliver the services we have agreed to deliver. So there haven't been any issues or problems. And as Lance said, I don't think that we can fully make sure that every window is closed. We have to continually monitor the situation, do the administrative processes, and after that, it becomes a leadership and management on a day-to-day basis.
All right, sounds good. And on that note, I want to thank our guest, Lance Skidubsky, the CISO with the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and Albert Kinney with Hewlett-Packard. Our special thanks today to the FCA Cyber Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search FCA, that's A-F-C-E-A. That's also where you can download this show and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of FCA International, which is solely responsible for its content. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time for FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
Who has access to what, when, how, and why? Are users who they say they are? Who did what and when did they do it? All this should matter. Budget cuts continue. Identity fraud is increasing. Effective enterprise identity, credentialing, and access management are essential. HP can help. HP's Assured Identity Solution is a highly scalable enterprise solution that can be integrated with your existing systems that will amplify the value of the services you provide to your constituents. That really matters. Learn more at hp.com/go/getconnected.